The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And it's 8 a.m. Central Time where we are. And, of course, May 2nd coming up is a National Day of Prayer. We have author, historian, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, with us on the phone. He's a senior producer for D. James Kennedy Ministries and executive director of the Providence Forum. He has two websites, djameskennedy.org and providenceforum.org. Welcome back to the show, sir. Been a while.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Dave.
So the National Day of Prayer, how long has this been around?
Well, actually, I think it was practiced intermittently at different times through our country. I think in the middle part of the 20th century, Truman helped revive it, then Eisenhower kept it going. And then Ronald Reagan, so in the early 80s, he made it something as an annual event. It is the first Thursday of every May, thanks to Reagan.
Well, that's good. And see, this is something that maybe a lot of people don't know. By the way, the D. James Kennedy Ministries TV program, Truths That Transform, dives into this disturbing topic May 21st and 28th with a series of bold, in-depth reports on wokeism in America and what it's doing to our nation and our military. And, of course, one of the things we're talking about today is how prayer shaped America, George Washington's prayers, and the prayer that's needed all year round. I guess this would be part of the Feel Good Friday in a way, but the thing is that we're in a crisis mode right now, are we not?
Yeah, we really are. And when you think about it, the fledgling America, after declaring independence in 1776, and even the year or so before that, because the hostilities began in April 1775 against Great Britain, there were many times where the Continental Congress itself called for prayer, called for the American people to pray. For example, Congress itself, with John Hancock writing the, you know, signing this, on March 16, 1776, they declared and called for a, quote-unquote, a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that we may with united hearts confess and bewail our manifold sins and transgressions, and by a sincere repentance and amendment of life appease his righteous displeasure, and through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ obtain his pardon and forgiveness, humbly imploring his assistance to frustrate the cruel purposes of our unnatural enemies, and by inclining their hearts to justice and benevolence, prevent the further effusion of kindred blood. I mean, this is the Congress speaking, saying all those things.
You wouldn't hear that in today's Congress, I can guarantee you that, with everything going on.
No, that's true. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, beleaguered now at the present, but he invited Jack Hibbs, a wonderful guy on the radio, and he started the Real Life Network and so forth. He's a minister out of California and on the TV and so forth. Okay, so he invited him to say, to open in prayer, and Jack Hibbs got hammered by the left and by several Democrat congresspeople even that said, oh, this is an outrage and so forth. Well, what did he do? He prayed for America to repent. He prayed in the name of Jesus and so forth. So it's amazing how far, frankly, we've come. And so many people today treat the people who talk about America's godly heritage as if we're somehow interlopers to an otherwise blissful secular America that the founders intended for us. And that's just not an accurate picture of history. Now, nor is it accurate to say, oh, well, all the founding fathers were born-again Christians and so forth. Many of them were. Most of them were Trinitarian Christians involved in Trinitarian churches and so forth, the vast majority of them, in fact, you can read Christianity and the Constitution by John Eitzmo, where he documents all those things and lays out the specific denominations. Ben Franklin, even, not an Orthodox Christian, but he called for prayer during the Constitutional Convention. And it's really an amazing, amazing speech about how we need to pray. And a variation of his request was adopted. The Founding Fathers met. They did pray together on July 4th in a church service, and much of the acrimony subsided, and they were able to finally finish the Constitution. Prayer has been a very important part in American history from the beginning and to the present, but not as obviously not as faithful and orthodox today as it was back then.
I just wonder if Mr. Hibbs, when he went into Congress there, if he just brought in a whole bunch of carpets and rolled out 435 of them and says, okay, everybody, get on this and get on your knees and bow down and toward Mecca. I wonder if that would have changed anybody's attitude, because, you know, we're getting further and further away from God. And this Congress obviously has reared its ugly head. Doesn't matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, Rhino, Dino, whatever the case may be. They're all turning their back on God. They've all taken on God complexes, and they think they know better than we do, those of us who pray to God, and now Christianity is being attacked.
That's so true. Well, one man said this in our history. He said, we as Americans have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. That was Abraham Lincoln in one of the prayer proclamations. This was during the middle of the Civil War, and he reminded his hearers that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. This is our true heritage. And as far as the example that you just gave about the worshipers of Allah, they are free to practice their religion here in America because America began with a Judeo-Christian foundation. People of all faiths are welcome here, but it was belief in God, the Christian God, quite frankly, that allowed that freedom in the first place. We've been endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Take away God, and you remove those freedoms.
Well, it's gone out of the schools, that's for sure, because now, I mean, is this part of what we can anticipate, truths that transform? Can we anticipate that this is going to be discussed as to what's happened in our schools?
Yes, because, in fact, there's a whole series that culminates with a program called Brainwashed. And the whole idea of it is that, unfortunately, a lot of modern education today is more like indoctrination in the left, and children are being brainwashed, as opposed to actual education, where the children are being taught to think for themselves. You know, look at the example of C.S. Lewis, who was a professor at Oxford, professor at Cambridge. He was probably the greatest Christian writer in the 20th century. And he was obviously from England. So anyway, he was taught as a young man to think for himself, to think through issues, to, you know, critical thinking, not critical theory, critical thinking. And initially, he was an atheist, and all of his thinking led him towards an anti-God hypothesis. But then God began to close in on him through the influence of Christian friends, including the man who wrote The Lord of the Rings, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien, and other friends, literary friends that he would associate with. And frankly, God closed in on C.S. Lewis, and he came in screaming and kicking into the kingdom of God. But part of his testimony is along the lines of, as he thought through using these tools of critical thinking, thinking for himself, he ended up realizing, wow, this is real. God himself became a human being, you know, in time, space, and history, in the person of Jesus Christ. He changed all of history. He died for my sins in my place. He offered the gift of eternal life, and he rose from the dead to seal the deal. In fact, Max McLean, a couple years ago, during the height of COVID, He made a great movie about the most reluctant convert. I believe that was the name of the movie. And it was all about the C.S. Lewis story. And the idea of it, though, the point I'm making is people need to be able to think for themselves. Today, you have all this groupthink. And I'm not going to call anybody Nazis. But when you see those German soldiers marching in, you know, with their goose step, boom, 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 boom. You know, anybody get out of line, you're out, you know. And today the cancel culture is like that. If anybody thinks for themselves and says, wait a minute, you're saying that a boy can become a girl, that a girl, a biological girl, can become a biological male? That's not true. And it's never been true. And no matter what, you know, therapy they go through and drugs and even surgeries and so forth, they cannot change that which is biologically impossible. And yet, if you object to those things in some school context, you could be ostracized. You could get an F. You could, get in trouble with the school authorities because they bought into that lie as well as many other lies.
Well, and the bigger problem is, too, and I was just discussing this in our last hour, Dr. Jerry, we had a couple in Indiana whose child was affected by anorexia, and it was a boy, and they discovered, quite by accident, that he was identifying as a girl. And the state of Indiana, because somebody, apparently they tried to take him to the doctors for treatment and put him in therapy and everything else, trying to help, trying to figure him out. What's going on? How can we fix this anorexia problem? Because he's starving himself. Obviously, he wants the he's got it in his head. All of a sudden, we're following along the lines of brainwashed here that you just brought up. And somebody got to him and convinced him, hey, maybe you're not who you think you are. And so the state of Indiana got involved. And I don't know if you heard this story or not, but what ended up happening.
Oh, yeah, they got involved in the wrong way.
Well, yeah, and somebody ratted him out, basically, is what happened. And this is going to become more commonplace because Indiana's not the only state that's doing this. Yeah. Washington State now has passed a law saying they can take away your kids if you try to stop them from transforming. So, you know, this is the devil at its operating at its peak in America right now because the state obviously came in and ruled, well, the parents aren't unfit, but you're not going to get your kid back.
It's unbelievable. It's just so demonic. And in fact, I think what's going to happen is, as we go further down this road, there will be a turning of the tide. There's already been that way in Europe. In Great Britain, for example, they used to have this one institution where young, confused children and teenagers and so forth and young adults would go to, and then they would get the treatment, including hormone blockers or puberty blockers, and then they would get hormone therapy, and then they would even, in some cases, get the operations and so forth. But it still didn't solve the underlying problem, the disorder. Most of these situations of gender confusion resolve themselves if there's no interruption by adults, if there's no interference by adults. They resolve themselves usually by puberty or by early adulthood. And instead, what they're doing is they're just playing with the minds, and it's a terrible, terrible thing. I think some of the victims here, frankly, are these confused children themselves. And so what's happening is it's like the diagnosis, sorry, the cure is worse than the diagnosis. And so what's going to happen is there's going to be more and more lawsuits, for example, of children who grow up and their lives have been thrown away because they followed this lie that a boy could become a girl or a girl could become a boy through successful surgery and the right hormone therapy, etc. And they will sue the doctors and the medical establishment and so forth. And as I say, in Europe, they've already started to close some of the institutions that went down that road and said, this is not working and it's harmful. And so what's happening is right now it's real chic to be, you know, in favor of the trans, gender movement and so forth. And even feminists who fought hard, for example, for women's rights so that women could have their own sports league. Now, all of a sudden, in all these different sports leagues where men supposedly relating as women are allowed to compete, the men, they're really men, they're biological males, they're winning all the trophies, and it's grossly unfair. It's almost like a joke, but real people, real girls who've trained for years and years and years have been denied scholarships and trophies and all kinds of maybe deals down the road, you know, for athletic accomplishments and so forth, because they're having to compete against biological males. So it's really a terrible, terrible tragedy that's been imposed on us. But you watch. Yeah. The tide will turn. How many people, though, have to be hurt in the process until it does?
And that's the other thing, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, that we were pointing at the other day when we were talking about the fact that a lot of these biological males are so strong when they're playing like the women's basketball team. Three of their players were injured to where they couldn't play, and the team had to forfeit. So, you know, not only, I mean, see, this is working in reverse, because by letting the transgenders males play in female sports, it's denying, as you say, the females the right to advance and get scholarships and all sorts of other things. But at the same time, it is disingenuous in that it forces females to say, you know what, if this is the way it's going to be, I'm going to change my whole focus. I love sports, but I'm not putting up with this. And pretty soon you're not going to have sports in college because nobody wants to participate. And it's all going to be transgender leagues. I mean, that doesn't speak very well of America, does it?
No, it doesn't. I can't help but think of the girl who was in a high school volleyball team in North Carolina.
I remember that.
A biological male, related as a female, spiked the ball, hit her so hard in the face. And I've heard that those spikes can be as fast as 70 miles an hour. It smashed into the face of the girl. She went down. She had a concussion. To this day, she has brain damage from that injury about a year or two ago. And this is just crazy that adult males, you know, that pretend to be, you know, compassionate are allowing for this kind of terrible thing. I mean, you look at the example of Will Thomas from Pennsylvania, or I guess he's from Pennsylvania. Anyway, he ranked 460th or something like that as a male swimmer. Then he said, oh, I relate as a girl, and he started becoming the number one female, supposedly, swimmer in the collegiate league and so forth. And, you know, it's interesting, the girls that he beat said that it was bad enough that he beat us in these things because he's a biological male and has those advantages, but what was really horrible was that they forced us to be in the same locker room with him. He has his full regalia, and he's stripping with us while we're there. And, you know, it's like, wow, you got to get out of that locker room as soon as possible. You know, get changed and get out of there. This is just grossly unfair to women. And I think in many ways this is a symptom of America having forgotten God and God's principles. And Patrick Henry, one of our great founding fathers, said this. He said, it is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains.
So all of the companies and corporations like Planet Fitness that have been accused of allowing men to go into women's locker rooms, this is another big thing that's going on. See, what the government, and we're now becoming to fully realize, Dr. Jerry, all of the ways that if government can't directly do it because it would be violating the Constitution, they get these woke corporations to do it for them. And this is exactly what's happening with Planet Fitness and companies like this that are promoting this stuff, as well as this diversity, equity, and inclusion stuff. This is all basically working for the other side, is it not?
It absolutely is. And all I can say is we're still at a place where there's a free market. Last time I checked, there were some people concerned about what Planet Fitness was doing in terms of allowing biological males with their full regalia and so forth to change in the women's locker room. The women feel uncomfortable. If they complain about it, they might even lose their membership from Planet Fitness. The women complaining about men changing in the women's locker room get punished by this corporation. Well, there are some people concerned about that, and so they've gotten the word out, and sales for Planet Fitness and so forth, and the value of Planet Fitness has gone down. And the same is true. You know, we saw what happened with Bud Light when the people spoke, and they were very upset about this transgender ad. You know, what a farce. I mean, honestly, future generations will look back at this, and this is much worse than something like the Pet Rock. When I was growing up, there was literally a fad for a short time where you could buy a rock, and you could make it like your pet, and you would get a certain box, and that box would be like its doghouse, if you will, and you could, you know, pretend to feed it things and, you know, put little shrubbery around it or whatever in its little box and, you know, give it a name and all this stuff. And people would sell these things for a lot of money. It was like,
the Chia Pet, same way.
But it was harmless, dumb. This is dumb, but it's actually harmful. And sometimes you almost just have to laugh. I mean, I heard a line from one comedian where he said, okay, when President Biden took Easter, the opportunity of Easter, instead of, you know, promoting, you know, the religious message of Easter, instead he promoted the Trans Visibility Day. He said, well, maybe what they should do is, for their Easter egg hunts, they should have roosters out there and watch them lay eggs.
Oh, my. Oh, my. And then,
it's absurd, but, yeah.
And the White House defended it. The press secretary defended it. Oh, well, he wasn't really trying to do it. Yeah, he was. He's got the Easter Bunny out there with him. I mean, he and Jill have the Easter Bunnies out there. It's like, what'd the Easter Bunny bring you, Joe? How about an ice cream cone? You want that? Oh, here's some hair you can snip. I mean, see, the thing is leadership in America, people look at what's going on from the top down, and they're not impressed with what's going on in Congress. Congress has turned its back on the American people. I think we've all figured it out. But yet the elections now, with wokeism in America being what it is, our elections are really in jeopardy here. What's your take?
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think what it boils down to, though, is mobilizing the values voters. I talked to Tim Head, the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition based in the Atlanta area. And we were talking about this recently, and he said, believe it or not, to this day, the values voters, if they can be mobilized, they represent, and here he's talking about, you know, committed evangelicals and pro-life Catholics. He's putting those in the same group. And he said, we are literally the single largest voting bloc in America, even, you know, outnumbering the gays and the transgenders and, you know, whatever, all these different groups that would oppose the values that we would vote for. The key is to mobilize Christians to vote. The Christians have an obligation to vote. There's a lot of issues at stake, and I think freedom itself is at stake. And, you know, God will hold us accountable as to how we vote, and we need to do our homework. And some people will say, well, there's no difference between the two parties, or there's no difference between the two candidates. Well, really, there are, in terms of the values that God says are a priority according to his word. And so if the Christians could get out and vote their biblical values, we could see things turned around. But, you know, as Cal Thomas likes to say, you know, the Savior's not going to come on Air Force One. As the Bible says, put not your trust in princes. So on the one hand, we need to be salt and light. Absolutely, we need to be mobilized and do the right thing, including in the ballot box and including, you know, getting out there and supporting what is good and what is right. We all know there's only sinners on the ballot. Jesus is not on the ballot. But some sinners are much worse than others. Some policies are much worse than others. I remember back when I was a young Christian, and Ronald Reagan was on the ballot versus Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter kind of wore his professed Christianity on his sleeve, but everything Carter stood for was bad in terms of Christian, you know, out-and-out Christian values. He would say things like, well, personally, I'm opposed to abortion, but who am I to impose my values on anybody else? Then he would turn around and vote in policies or work for policies that were pro-abortion. So it's like, well, wait a minute. You say you're pro-life, but in reality, you're not. And anyway, Reagan wasn't, you know, he professed to be a Christian and you know, seemed to be sincere on that front. Meanwhile, his policies lined up with the Bible much more. And when people wanted to say, well, there's no difference between Reagan and Carter and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, actually, there was. And, you know, I'm glad that Reagan became president when he did. He helped to put the brakes on some of the cultural rot that was beginning to envelop us as a nation. He helped to make a big difference in terms of the ongoing arms race between the Soviet Union, which wanted to take over the world with their godless communism. And they couldn't even feed the people of the Soviet Union. And they killed a lot of their own people, millions, tens of millions of people. And Reagan essentially bankrupted them by, you know, by showing that, okay, we're having this arms race, but we're going to have the Strategic Defense Initiative. We're going to do, you know, have this protective dome so that as their missiles would come in, we'll shoot them down. We saw in Israel recently how that same type of protective dome, which they took their clues from the Reagan administration, that worked as Iran sent in 300 drones and rockets just within the last week. And they all, you know, were shot down. And I understand only one Israeli was injured from Iran's, you know, a barrage of attacks. Bottom line, there's, yes, only sinners are on the ballot. But some sinners are more aligned with biblical values than, you know, those who, you know, in effect, want to impose Marxist-type values on America. You mentioned DEI. That's Marxism by another name. It's cultural Marxism. So I think there's a lot at stake, David. And we need to pray, we need to mobilize, and we need to support the good and reject the bad.
Right. Well, in the meantime, of course, you know, we are getting, you know, conflicting reports because this is the way the news operates. And being a journalist, I look at the stuff and, you know, we pick these things apart because obviously there's, you know, Israel, apparently, from what the Times is reporting over there, has struck back inside Iran, launching a strike against their nuclear program south of Tehran. And that happened this morning at 0600 their time. And so, you know, this tit for tat is starting up again, and people are looking at this going, and the Knesset has spoken, and the UN vetoed Palestine from becoming a full member of the UN. I mean, all this stuff is leading up to something, but we don't exactly know what. Do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, I think that things are better for the world when you have somebody in the White House who has moral clarity and a vision in terms of world peace and of promoting nations to not attack one another. And if you do, you don't know what might hit you. And, you know, peace through strength. Our first president, George Washington, gave us a great model. He even, you know, modeled that idea. And he said that the best way to work for peace is by having, you know, military preparation so that nobody will attack you. And George Washington also said when he resigned or when the as commander-in-chief, after we had achieved the victory, which is amazing, he said, listen, as America, we can only hope to succeed if we learn to imitate Christ, whom he called the divine author of our blessed religion. Washington was right. We need to heed those messages.
That's right. Dr. Jerry Newcomb, we're hoping we can keep you on for the next half hour. We'll take some phone calls and be back after these important words. Stay with us.
This is Catherine, producer of the Power Hour. Not very many of you know that I suffer from an autoimmune disease, and one product that I depend on daily is Global Healing Center's organic plant-based selenium. Selenium is essential for optimal endocrine and immune function and for moderating the inflammatory response. Not only that, but this essential trace mineral plays a vital role in promoting a healthy thyroid, maintaining cardiovascular health, and supporting metabolism. This expertly crafted supplement is extracted from the mustard seed plant. It is vegan-friendly and high bioavailable, ensuring optimal absorption of this powerful antioxidant. So whether or not you're dealing with an autoimmune disorder like me, or you simply want to boost your immune function, I recommend you try Global Healing Center Selenium from the Power Mall. It's available by going to thepowermall.com or by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Hi, this is Linda from the Power Mall. I would like to tell you about a product that I personally take and recommend. I was very drawn to the Bone Active Topical Rub because I want to build healthy bones and prevent age-related bone loss, which so many of my friends have. Bone Active Oil contains three of the most potent mountain herbal oils known to man: sage, rosemary, and oregano. I rub it on my joints and on the bottom of my feet, and an added bonus is that it smells amazing. Not only is it potent by just rubbing it on the body, but also can be taken internally. Take advantage of the research. Use Bone Active rubbing oil and capsules to support a healthy overall bone density response. I'd love to talk with you more about this product. Call me at 877-817-9829 or learn more by visiting thepowermall.com.
Yes, friends. And you are my friend. This is the Power
Hour.
And we're back for our final segment. It is, if you root your place in this life in prayer, we seem to be lacking a lot of it. People are losing the faith and giving up. Our churches are not standing where they should be. Dr. Jerry Newcomb, senior producer for D. James Kennedy Ministries and executive director of the Providence Forum, continues to join us for this next and final segment here on our Friday edition. And of course, Dr. Jerry, we've talked about so much stuff at this point. We have callers that would like to place some inquiries onto the show. We start out with Brady in Arizona. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to ask you how you feel about now that Israel's responded back bombing Iran, and just it was revealed yesterday that Russia is now arming Iran. It's not making the news out there, but I'd just like your comments on what do you feel about now Russia and China are basically backing Iran, and we got ourselves into a big pickle.
Dr. Jerry, your response.
Yes, these times are very difficult. And as I say, it's so much more reassuring to have someone in the White House that projects strength to the world and right values, as opposed to, you know, letting all these different rogue nations do what they do. It's just, it's incredible. For years, the Soviet Union wanted to take over the whole world. Obviously, it imploded, thank God, partly mainly because of Ronald Reagan's policies, along with Margaret Thatcher, and also Pope John Paul II. He deserves credit there because they helped Poland become free, and then all of a sudden, like dominoes, boom, 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 Eastern Europe fell out of the Soviet orbits, if you will. And so anyway, bottom line is, but Putin, seeing all these things, seeing the glory of Stalin, has been trying to, you know, resurrect the old failed Soviet Union. Only this time around, he's pretending that religion is a part of it, as opposed to in the failed Soviet Union, they were just completely anti-God. So you'll see Putin in a, you know, Christian, Orthodox Christian type service, as if he, you know, believes this stuff. No, he's into power and the love of power. Now, I tell you, the genius of America's founding fathers was that they recognized man is sinful. As James Madison put it, all men having power ought to be distrusted. Therefore, in the, when they created the Constitution, they made it so that power would be distrusted. Distributed, it would not be held in any one person's hands or any small group of people's hands. You know, so this is really important to understand. When George Washington successfully won by God's grace, beat it, you know, beat the greatest army in the history of the world at that time by God's grace, and he gave all the credit to God, and some of his troops. After a while, when they were, you know, dealing with inflation and all kinds of different issues, they said, why don't you become a king and we, your loyal troops, will support you. And Washington was so hurt. He said, I didn't fight one king in order to become a king. And Washington, when he, after serving two terms as president, he stepped down so that he wouldn't create some sort of dynasty in America. You see, man is basically sinful, and the founding fathers understood that, and that's why to this day the Constitution is so durable compared to these other forms of government that the world has experimented with. And for the most part, they're all anti-God. They're all in the mode of the French Revolution, which was totally anti-God. They were so anti-God, they were killing priests and nuns and so forth, but also they even changed the week. Did you know that? They said, we don't like this idea. Well, Saturday is the Sabbath, and Sunday is the Lord's Day. We don't like that. So they changed it to 10 days in a week. And they also said, we don't like this year, 1791, and that was 2 years after the revolution began, 1791, we're going to make that the year one of the French Republic, because otherwise, 1791, that's in reference to you-know-who, and we hate you-know-who. And I'm talking, of course, about Jesus Christ. And so anyway, eventually Napoleon, after about a dozen years, changed that calendar back and undid those things. But the point is, there's a huge difference between pro-God and anti-God when it comes to government policies. And Ronald Reagan said it so well. If America ever forgets that we are one nation under God, we'll be one nation going under.
Makes sense. Brady, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate that. Phil in Florida, you're on the phone with Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Dave, thank you, Doctor. We're all about the truth here at the Power Hour, at least, you know, and something's really irritating me about all the news. It's not being said about Iran and Israel. Before Iran launched those 300 missiles and drones and what have you, the week before, we must remember this, and it must be put in context. The week before, Israel attacked the Iranian consulate in Syria, killing 15 high-level officials, including a number of military generals. At that point in time, Iran had withheld any kind of quick response, and but did say there would be a response. They did alert Israel that they would not, that they would be attacking. They attacked only military installations to avoid civilian casualties. You did mention that only one Israeli person had been killed. In fact, that person had been killed by falling debris from the missiles that were shot down. And I'm very disturbed that we're not giving the entire truth, regardless of whose side you're supporting. And this is very, very frustrating. I've been a listener to the Power Hour since 2005 with Joyce Riley. And one of her strongest war cries, or not war cries, but her strongest positions were all about the truth here at the Power Hour. And this is very, very disturbing. I'm not a Christian like you guys. I don't know the Bible and all that like Dave does, and I'm not a pastor like you are. But I do try to live my life as with the WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I don't think Jesus would be withholding that part of the story here. Thank you very much. I'll listen off air.
I appreciate that, Phil. Wow, that was a mouthful. Dr. Jerry, all this in perspective, I mean, are we getting the full story, or is this the news media trying to shape World War III?
All right, let me ask a question. October 7th, when about 1,200 men, women, children, even babies, it is reported, Israelis, were attacked on their own soil by Hamas, was there or was there not some input in favor of Hamas from the Iranians? And the answer is yes. It's my understanding there was. And I think it's unconscionable that the present administration of the U.S. has been supporting Iran with money. Iran wants to blow up Israel. Iran, through the years, they've had these chants on their Friday prayers: death to Israel, death to America. Now we're hearing the chants, you know, on American soil: death to Israel, death to America. I look at these people here in America that are refugees of sorts from some of these countries like Iran, or, you know, some of the Muslim-based countries where they don't allow religious freedom. See, here in America, because of Christianity, because of our Judeo-Christian roots, you are allowed to believe or not to believe, and you're allowed to practice these different religions. But for people to come here, to find refuge here, and then to chant death to America, that's, to put it nicely, very ungrateful. I'm sorry. I think we live in an era of the ungrateful America, and I think there are bad guys here. What Israel wants to do is to exist. Israel wants to survive. The attack on October 7th was the worst attack against Jews, it is reported, since the Holocaust, since 1945. I mean, this is astounding. In fact, Israel as a nation was created in the wake of the Holocaust as they tried to exterminate all the Jews. So I think that, you know, there may be a lot of Iranian people who don't feel that the mullahs speak for themselves or speak for them in these views. But the leadership of Iran is definitely committed to destroying Israel. In fact, we hear the phrase a lot of times. Sometimes it's even being said on college campuses. And it says, from the river to the sea. What does that mean? Well, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, we will drive the Jews out of Israel. So we'll have Palestine again without Israel, even if that means killing all the Jews in the process. Remember one of the leaders, his name was hard to pronounce, but Ahmadinejad of Iran, just 10 years ago or whatever. He was a Holocaust denier. I remember reading that when Eisenhower first started, you know, as our commander of all the Allied armies, and in Germany, as they were starting to open up some of these death camps of the Nazis, they were opening up these camps, and he said, "This is unbelievable, seeing all these dead Jewish corpses and so forth." He said, "Bring in camera people, filmmakers or whatever, film this, photograph this. The world will one day maybe even deny this. Did you know, Dave, I've talked to young people, and apparently there are a lot of young people today who don't even understand or know about the Holocaust. They don't realize that Hitler set out to create the master race, and in doing so, he was trying to speed up Darwinian evolution by killing off all these undesirables and having only the pure Aryans being the ones who breed for the future and creating a master race. They didn't just kill 6 million Jews. I mean, that's horrible. But they also killed Gypsies, and they also killed Slavs. Now, of course, the Jews were the largest single group of this, and they killed wayward Christians who got in their way, you know, people like Bonhoeffer, and they almost killed Niemöller and so forth. But bottom line is that there's worldviews in conflict here. The Judeo-Christian ethic of human life teaches that God has made us in his image. The Christian adds to this, look, we are so valuable that Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty, one day became a human being in the person of Jesus. He lived a perfect life. He fulfilled the law's demands, which nobody else has ever done. And then he offered himself up as a sacrifice on behalf of sinners as he died on the cross. The wrath of God against man's sin was satisfied. And then Jesus was buried. And then he rose from the dead and he changed all of history. And that's why, to this day, you know, your birth date, whoever you are that's listening to me, your birth year, whatever that year is in direct reference to when Jesus was born, because he changed all of history. And one day, Jesus will return, and then he's going to make things right. And I think in the meantime, let us occupy until he comes, and all the Christians out there, let them become salt and light. And the thing about it, it's wonderful to try and imitate Jesus. What would Jesus do? I think that's fantastic. But I think it's also important to realize that we can never live up to the standards that God has set for us. But what we can do is put our faith in Jesus, who died for sinners. And when we do that, truly do that, he makes us new from the inside out. Behold, you know, all things are become new when you become a person in Jesus Christ, when you become born again by the Spirit of God coming into you through, you know, by asking Jesus to come into your life. And that was the greatest thing, the greatest decision I ever made. And I'm sure you could say the same, David. And I read Proverbs every day, as well as other chapters of the book of the Bible, books of the Bible. But today is the 19th of the month. So today I read Proverbs 19. Listen to this verse. When you think about the uncertain times of today, verse 23 of Proverbs 19, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble.
Amazing how that works. Jeff in North Carolina, you're on the phone with Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome show. Very, very nice, doctor. Very good words. Just have a couple of comments. I've been listening to you talk, and I was not brought up in church. In fact, I graduated school and back in the late 70s and went in the military. And I became a Christian then when I went in the military, and the I had the Lord and the Spirit of God really hit me hard in the late 80s, and it just kind of blew me away with the seriousness of the times and the end time scenario, how close we are to the second coming of Christ and so forth. And I was in my 20s, and I didn't know what to do. And I was living by myself. I wasn't married or anything, and I just did not know what to do. But this stuff blew me away. I had never thought that I would imagine seeing the stuff going on right now, the stuff such as men cutting off their genitals, the stuff going on in society right now. It's almost like we're in the twilight zone. I just cannot believe some of this stuff. So really, that's really the bottom line, what I wanted to get your comments on. And thank you, Dave, for the show. Thank you, sir, for your input and everything. I appreciate you so much. God bless. And I want to say this real quick. I heard the other guy just now talk before me. Anybody that does not know the Lord right now, Yeshua, please, I'm imploring you with all of my heart to get right with God right now. It's just like it was in the days of Noah, when the space, the door shut. And I beg everyone, if you don't know the Lord right now, please, the second coming of Christ is near and this stuff's coming down. But anyway, I'll get off here. God bless y'all.
All right, appreciate that, Jeff. You know, you were talking about the military. I mean, they're being affected by wokeism in America as well, yeah, which is kind of a sad state of affairs, Dr. Jerry.
It certainly is. And in fact, Marco Rubio, one of our great senators in the country, we're so pleased here in Florida to have him as a senator. He co-wrote a book with someone else, serving in Congress. And Congress, by the way, refers to the Senate and the House of Representatives. Anyway, this book is all about the problems of our woke military. But I would like to address something that the caller just said, if that's okay. And sure. I want to say, yeah, the times are absolutely perilous, and we may well be living in the end times. But it's also possible, because we know from history that previous generations thought, oh, this is the end times. People living through Hitler's time thought, oh, this is surely Adolf Hitler is the Antichrist. Oh, and then later, I'm sure that Joseph Stalin is the Antichrist. Oh, Mao's got to be the Antichrist. You know, and on it goes. Here's the bottom line. What if Jesus, for his divine purposes, chooses not to come for another 100 years, 200 years, 300 years? What kind of a world do we want to leave for our children and grandchildren? So in other words, we should have this tension. On the one hand, act as if he could come even this very day, but he may not come for 300 or 400 years. You know, the Puritans, who had so much to do with the founding of America, they get so maligned today. They are remembered by cancel culture as if the only thing they ever contributed was the witch hunt, which was horrible, even by their own admission after it was over and after they killed those 19 people, some of whom, probably all of whom, were innocent. And it was horrible what they did. But they shouldn't be remembered for that ugly episode. In fact, it was one of their leaders came back from England, and he said, what are you doing? The Bible says all crimes must be established, especially if there's a death penalty involved, by two or three witnesses, and you're not abiding by the Bible. Once that principle was put into place, bam, the whole thing was stopped. It came to a screeching halt. Meanwhile, the Puritans started education for the masses so that people, the children, could read the Bible for themselves. They ended up creating a completely literate populace, at least, for men and later women, too, in New England. I mean, it was incredible. They started a lot of colleges so that ministers could be trained in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know those colleges by name. Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, Presbyterian elders founded Princeton, the Anglican Church founded William and Mary. All these things were founded to train men to know the scriptures. That you had to know Hebrew, you had to know Greek, the original languages of the Old Testament, the New Testament, etc., in order to do these things. In other words, the Puritans had this kind of long-term thinking. Now, they left England with incredible, terrible persecution for their faith in believing in Jesus Christ and so forth. And so, yes, this may be the end times. Yes, it may. And it might not be. But here's the bottom line. Jesus said in Luke 19, occupy until I come. So that's all I'm saying. Let us be salt and light so that we do the best we can being faithful where the Lord has put us at this present moment. Whether
Howard,
Christ comes today or, 300, 500 years from now, 100, 1,000 years from now.
You never know. Howard in New York, you're on the phone with Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Hey,
talk about that, David.
You know, I've just about had enough of cowardly Zionist Christians like you.
okay? There's no such thing as Judeo-Christian. It doesn't exist. It's a dichotomy in terms, okay? It's like saying army intelligence, or it's a positive negative. It doesn't exist. If Jesus existed, he came down here and he preached something different. It was taking him out of that.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's productive. That's the beauty about America.
You know, it's interesting. Let me respond to this. When I say Judeo-Christian, what I mean is I'm building on the Judaism, the base of the Old Testament. That's really what I'm saying. And I'm telling you, people would not know the Old Testament if it weren't for Jesus Christ. In other words, if it weren't for the New Testament, if it weren't for the spread of Christianity, the Jews and their customs that God revealed to them and so forth, this would not be known. Israel as a nation would not have been reborn had it not been, because of the influence ultimately of Christianity. Now, of course, we know that there was a lot of anti-Semitism during the Christian era, but that defied the spirit of Jesus. And besides, Jesus was a Jew, and this is really, an important point. To me, when I say Judeo-Christian, I'm thinking in terms of the faith we have is in the same tradition as Moses, as Isaiah, as Jeremiah, as Daniel, as David.
Right. Dr. Jerry Newcomb, we are out of time for today. Wow. Boy, talk about controversy right in the middle of it. We're always in the middle of it. This is part of wokeism in America. Truth to Transform is coming out May 21 and 28 with a series of in-depth reports on what's going on here, what it's doing to our nation. We definitely need prayer. In the meantime, Dr. Jerry, thanks for joining us. And until next week, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Stay safe.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call, now more than ever. We need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.